Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. SpaceX and Tesla have deleted their Facebook pages. Intel has announced it's discontinuing the Intel graphics update tool for Linux. Watch what you say when using Microsoft products. The company's new service agreement says that it can punish you for using offensive language. A GTX 1070 is the recommended card for VR with the new HTC Vive Pro. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. SpaceX and Tesla have deleted their Facebook pages. SpaceX and Tesla CEO Elon Musk has deleted the company's Facebook pages, joining some now former Facebook users in their protest of the social media giant's corporate behavior. The move comes a week after revelations that Cambridge Analytica, a British data firm that contracted with the Donald Trump presidential campaign, retained private data from 50 million Facebook users, despite claiming to have deleted it. New reports on Cambridge Analytica has spurred massive public outcry from users and politicians, with even CEO Mark Zuckerberg calling it a breach of trust. At least two lawsuits have been filed as a result. According to the comments from Zuckerberg, this new #DeleteFacebook campaign does not appear to have any substantive impact on the platform's bottom line. He told the New York Times, "I don't think we've seen a meaningful number of people act on that, but, you know, it's not good." Well, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. You know, I don't know, really, how not good it is, to be honest. I mean, for private data that Analytica collected, is it just my stuff, or is it public posts and private things?
Well, we're going back to the original Facebook API 1.0, and with that API, companies like Cambridge Analytica were able to aggregate not only your personal posts and your personal data, your contact information, your likes, your dislikes, your private conversations, your public conversations, your photos, your videos, everything. But also, if I installed the app that was using their software on my profile and gave that checkbox, which was literally just a approve to install back with version 1.0. So remember back then, 2014, it didn't list all the things that it was going to do, and it didn't allow you to opt out of giving them my personal information and my home phone number and all this. It didn't let you opt out of those things. It was just, I want to install an app, I have to accept. So they would sell, you know, presumably, you know, let's get my software into a game, and that game now gets installed on all these people's Facebook platform profiles, and they've authorized me to install because they want that game.
Right.
Say that's the example. Here's the thing. With that version of the API from Facebook, they not only had access to my profile, as I mentioned, but also the profiles and personal, private, confidential data, the private data of all of my friends. They don't have to authorize it. Because I authorized it, By association, by proxy, given permission that they can now access my friends' profiles as well.
That's not okay.
Not okay. And so that there was an uproar back then in 2015, 2016, and version 2.0 came out, and they said, you know, we've heard your uproar, we've heard your cry for more privacy settings, and so we've launched version 2.0 of the API and deprecated 1.0.
Okay.
Too little, too late. The data was already collected. It was already aggregated.
And they didn't tell us that then.
if you read the fine print,
yes,
it was there.
Well, yeah, who does that?
Exactly. How many people have read the full terms of use every time it changes?
So Mark Zuckerberg thinks that it's bad. It's like,
well,
not good.
It's like totally not good.
It's like not good.
Yeah.
He didn't say bad, but it's like
not going to hurt his bottom line. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I support anybody that would want to delete their Facebook because of this.
Yes. And I can understand that. But who uses Facebook and doesn't already understand that their data is the product that is being sold?
Right.
Because we're not the customers of Facebook. We are the product of Facebook.
True.
As users. Yeah. Right. So that data, so it's really my responsibility as a Facebook user to only post things that I don't mind third parties having access to.
But you know what? It's not even my things. Like, to be honest with you, it's the fact that I, like, if I agree to something, I create havoc for my friends.
Back they in can, 2014,
right.
Yes.
So that's icky. Like, that's,
absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. Ugh. I don't like that because there are people who do their best to be private.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they friended
and here's
some willy-nilly approver of things.
But here's the other side to that. So thinking back, you know, now things are firmer now and they're going to get even firmer now that this has come to light. Like they're really, oh, we've got to change things. But back then, companies would create profiles that look like your friends.
Right.
They'd find a picture of your husband.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's a little too close to home, and they would friend you on Facebook.
Right.
They'd find, you know, your church directory and get all the pictures and create a directory of, here's some connections, right?
Right.
Or company websites and get connections and then friend you. So now I've friended you. You are friends with all the legitimate people. And now, through this exploit in the API, because I'm your friend, now I authorize Analytica to access my friends.
Right.
And because you friended me, you have vicariously and completely unknowingly released all of yours and your friends' data.
How dirty
Messy.
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Intel has announced it is discontinuing the Intel Graphics Update tool for Linux, but it may not be what you think. The tool, which was known as Intel Graphics Installer for Linux for a while, was created in 2013 to give Linux users a reliable way to upgrade their latest stable firmware, driver, and other components for Intel graphics chips. Owners of newer Intel hardware often had to use the tool in order to get the most from their GPU when using Linux. Ubuntu and Fedora were the officially supported distros the tool targeted, but users of related distributions, including Linux Mint, have made use of it too. At a glance, headlines like that make it sound as if Intel is pulling support for Linux, when in fact, it's quite the opposite. Now Intel's open source technology group says the tool is obsolete. So why are they deprecating the software that makes it easy to upgrade to the drivers? Well, it's all thanks to faster inclusion of newer Intel graphics that support Intel graphics support that is directly within modern Linux distribution repositories. There isn't a need for a new release because Ubuntu 17.10 and Fedora 27 both include support for the latest Intel graphics out of the box, and it appears as though both distros will be keeping pace with the stack going forward. So, with no real purpose, the update tool is simply being retired.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, it shows the power of a repository in that now, if it's already pre-set up on your distro on Linux, so you don't have to install the drivers manually, if you will.
Right.
But as the new versions come out, they're going to automatically update as well.
Right. So it's just being phased out. It's just...
It's not needed anymore.
That's great.
But isn't it funny how the headlines will say, oh, well, Intel is pulling support for Linux drivers.
Right. It's weird.
That's the headline.
Yeah.
And let's look between the lines here. It's no longer needed, folks. Linux has gotten to the point where we don't need to figure out how to install our drivers. It just does it for us.
It just happens.
I love that when I fire up a Linux computer for the first time and I connect my Wi-Fi, it says, oh, you've got a wireless printer. Would you like to add it? Yep. Done. Would you like to print a test page? Yep. Done. Didn't have to install anything. Didn't have to touch anything.
Right.
Just said yes.
It just knows.
Just, yeah, install my printer. Sure, yeah, I want my graphics drivers. Yeah, make it happen. Get her done.
Linux is amazing.
And incidentally, when it does update, I can choose when to update.
Right.
And I don't have to reboot when
That's
I do.
That's a huge thing. Updating without needing to reboot is a big deal.
I'm not pointing any fingers, Windows users.
That's a big deal. It's a time saver.
It really is when you can control when the updates happen and you don't have to be offline for 5 hours while it happens.
Right.
If it's like an anniversary update.
Yeah.
What could I be referring to? I don't know.
Well, speaking of Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft.
Watch what you say while using Microsoft products. The company's new service agreement says that it can punish you for using offensive language. This will apply to Microsoft services such as Xbox Live, Skype, OneDrive, and others in a document summarizing the upcoming changes, which goes into effect May 1st. Microsoft says, in the Code of Conduct section, we've clarified that the use of offensive language and fraudulent activity is prohibited. Punishments can include account suspensions and Microsoft booting you off of its products. The software giant also warns when investigating alleged violations of these terms, Microsoft reserves the right to review your content in order to resolve the issue. In other words, the company can search through your accounts for any evidence of the violations. So far, Microsoft hasn't publicly commented over concerns the policy might be too heavy-handed. A ban on offensive language will probably have the biggest impact on Xbox Live, where the gamers are known to troll each other. Microsoft doesn't define what offensive language is according to the new policy. However, the company's code of conduct is designed to prohibit a whole range of problematic activities, including spam, transmitting malware, online harassment, child exploitation, and anything illegal. The company's most severe punishments are probably reserved for the worst offenders.
Speaking of companies that are kind of monitoring your data.
Getting right on in there.
Have you ever used Cortana? And now they want to ban swearing? Come on.
So
it's a product feature.
They don't even say what it is that offensive language is. Now, I'm not saying that I am an offensive language user strongly by any means. Okay, but
if you're a Windows user or a Cortana user, you're probably an offensive language user.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, so
we talked about updates there.
Can they just change what offensive language is if they want to see your stuff?
Well, I suppose.
Right.
But they already have access to your stuff.
Right. But if they want to just make it a legal door to get through, where they just...
But right. They already have a legal door.
Oh.
Windows 10.
So, right.
You accepted the terms of...
Right, the terms and conditions.
The terms and conditions, which say clearly that they are allowed to...
See all of your things.
Everything that you are doing. Yeah.
Ugh.
Uh-huh.
Icky.
Pretty sure we covered that before.
Yeah, we did. It's gross. I've obviously blocked it out because it's disgusting. Anyway...
My wife and I sometimes, I mean, and I think a lot of folks have probably checked out some of the VR videos. And you know, it's a lot of fun when you see, like, some of the crazy stuff that goes on in virtual chats and stuff. And people post them on YouTube. And it's probably not always kid-friendly and it's not always appropriate. But, you know, it's good for a laugh sometimes when it's not overly offensive.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, you know, are these kinds of things going to be...
Banned?
An issue? I don't know. It's hard to say because I think they are just going to outline it clear as day so that nobody can rebuttal it and then implement that power in event that something needs to be addressed. Like we know what's happened on YouTube lately and things that need to be addressed.
Right,
so
they're putting it in
black and white.
Right, exactly.
And saying these kinds of things we have the power to combat and then let's see what happens.
Exactly. So I mean there's some really good things that you can really like this tool would be good to stop things like cyberbullying. It would be good against, child exploitation mm-hmm. and things like that. But I just feel like it's so vague in just like offensive language. Like it's
purposefully.
Yeah,
that's what I'm wondering. Is it on purpose so that we've blanketed this rule that's so vague but so firm that we now have the power to look through all your stuff if we suspect that you have been doing these things? So then it comes into, well, what if they're suspecting things like terrorism plans or something like that, or an attack of some sort? You know, kids talking in their VR chat about, you know, I'm going to do this or that to so-and-so. And so now all of a sudden Microsoft has the power to
boot you off of all of his products.
And of course they already have the power to report it to the authorities. That's part of Windows 10 as well.
Right.
So
it's actually very powerful.
But
when you think about it, because so many people,
it's so hard to fathom too.
Right. Like, I've been bad and now I have no Microsoft access. Like, I've been grounded.
Talk about Big Brother. This is Mama. You've been swearing on Xbox Live. You're banned for a week.
Right. And that's the thing. Is it a lifelong ban? Is it a conditional ban? How do you unban yourself after using offensive language? Do you apologize? How do you apologize? What? You just switch to Linux.
It is hard to get our... Yeah, it's hard to get... Yeah, because Linux lets you swear. It's hard to get your head around because of the fact that we're so conditioned by our human thinking, in that we think about Microsoft monitoring what we say and do and think in terms of humans monitoring what we say and do. But we have to realize now we have AI and machine learning. These are new things that we've not encountered in the past. So suddenly, there's so much more that can be done in such a small amount of time.
Right.
And connections that can be made.
Exactly.
Forgive technology, but the teleprompter that we use has just gone dead. So Sasha's going to be looking at her laptop computer for the next and final story.
Because VR is so demanding, hardware makers have issued recommended or VR-ready guidelines to help customers understand what kind of hardware they need for a good VR experience. For the most part, the VR industry's biggest players have agreed on the key parts of that recommended hardware. With the introduction of the new Vive Pro, HTC is now suggesting more powerful GTX 1070 as its recommended spec for the Vive Pro, differing from GTX 1060 suggested for use with other major headsets. Among other improvements, the Vive Pro brings a screen with 78% more pixels than the original Vive, 1440 by 1600 versus 1080 by 1200 per eye, which means that for the same scene, a GPU powering the Vive Pro will need to do a non-trivial amount of extra work to draw all the pixels at the 90 frames per second target frame rate. Dropping below that target can cause visual artifacts and discomfort. While HTC's official Vive Pro page had initially listed the same recommended GPU as the original Vive, the GTX 1060, for use with the Vive Pro, today the company updated the page to recommend NVIDIA's GTX 1070 Quadro P5000 or AMD's Radeon Vega 56. HTC tells Road to VR that the change was based on NVIDIA's testing. While the GTX 1070 or equivalent is now part of the recommended spec, a new minimum spec is listed, which still includes the GTX 1060. Additionally, the Vive Pro's minimum spec differs from the original Vive's recommended spec by requiring a USB 3.0 port instead of a 2.0 and dropping HDMI connectivity, now requiring DisplayPort 1.2 or newer. The Vive Pro minimum spec also no longer lists Windows 7, instead now showing Windows 8.1 or Windows 10. It's not yet clear if that means that the Vive Pro simply won't work with Windows 10 or if HTC just advises against it.
Windows 7.
Oh, Windows 7, sorry.
I should correct.
Pardon. While SteamVR's new auto-resolution function means that SteamVR content should automatically adapt to the Vive Pro's increased rendering demand and allow the GPU to maintain frame rate, it may come at the expense of reducing the rendering resolution when the headset is used in conjunction with a GTX 1060-class GPU. The move from GTX 1060 to 1070 as The headset's recommended spec isn't a small change for consumers, as current prices on the 1070, which is currently $625 US, are roughly twice as expensive as the 1060 at $325. This change could be the start of a trend of fragmentation among the VR-ready and recommended VR specs, which has been relatively consistent among leading VR companies to date, though we do hope that HTC and others will take steps to avoid customer confusion.
Just goes to show how Bitcoin mining and Monero mining and Turtlecoin mining has affected
everything.
The market.
Exactly.
And if you're not catching my connection there, you just mentioned that the 1070 cards are $600 and some odd plus USD. Now,
exactly.
You built at cat5.tv/CPU2017, you built a beautiful gaming rig with a 1070 overclock card with 8 gigs on board.
Right, and just in time.
And it was like 549 yeah. Canadian.
Right.
Canadian. So because people are buying up all these cards because they're using them to mine cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. the price is going up and up and up. They're becoming more rare. They're hard to get at a good price.
Just in time I got that card.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am envious because I want to add it to my mining rig.
Right. And I got it.
I got to pay 600 and... US?
So I'm okay, obviously, for my VR headset. Like, I'm okay.
Yes.
Right?
Go get one.
Exactly. But the thing is, it's confusing, right? Is there a way that consumers would, like, how do they know between recommended and
recommended versus minimum,
right,
would be kind of the key point. So when you're looking at minimum system requirements to do something, you have to imagine that the manufacturer says, it'll work. It's not going to be optimal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Recommended means it's going to be awesome.
Right.
Right. So if you've got a 1060 and they're saying that's the minimum, yes, it will work. You don't have to rush out and buy a 1070 right away.
But
you should know that you're probably not going to get the right frame rates. It's not going to be quite as good as it would be on a 1080, on a 1070 or 1080.
Right.
Right.
So it's just, you always feel, and I feel like this with smartphones, and that this is happening now
right.
with this as well. Is there next going to be something, like, should I already be just chomping at the bit for the next thing?
Well, you got to get your headset first.
Right.
Because right now the brand new Vive Pro is compatible. Your system is, with a 1070 GTX, is like the ideal system
right.
for this VR. And it's the best virtual reality experience that you can get right now.
Right.
So you don't have to upgrade anything. It's ready.
I just get the headset.
You just get the headset. Now, if you wait another 2 years, obviously your hardware is going to become the minimum at that point.
Okay. So if you buy it at the same level, then it just ages at the same level. Like, you're not going to be...
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to get myself a headset now.
You just got to get the VR headset.
I can do that.
Start saving. Christmas is coming.
How much is it?
They're like $800 or something, I think. Canadian, I'm not too sure.
Hmm. Well, but it's necessary.
She just said an HTC Vive Pro is necessary.
Yep. The end.
Okay. Best comment ever. Get the t-shirts.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.